For the Way Highway here on Adobe Radio with your hosts Sean Cowig and Kristen Sanchez.
Oh, hey there, Kristen. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Sean.
Oh my God, you ready for the Way Highway?
Heck yeah, I am.
All right, that's awesome, because this is Adobe Radio and this is the Way Highway. So sit back, relax, spark up a J, and let us entertain you for the next hour. I'm Sean Cowig. I'm super psyched to be here. With me, as always, Kristen Sanchez. Hello.
Hello, everyone. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you could follow Sean Cowig at Sean Cowig. You could follow me, Kristen Sanchez, at Siren16X, or follow The Way Highway at The Way Highway, or send us an email at wayhighway@adobe.com.
Oh, yeah. Tell us what you're doing. Tell us what you're up to and tell us what you're smoking down.
Yeah.
It is Women's History Month, and this week was International Women's Day. So today on The Way Highway, we're going to talk about some women now, women in cannabis, and historical women in cannabis. Yeah. So let's begin. As we always do, with a section that we call product review. Was that a rhyme? As we always do with a section we call product review.
I like it.
I'm rhyming. I don't even mean to rhyme sometimes. We're going to go through some incredible women-owned cannabis brands that you should know about. This compilation can be found on thehigherpath.com. Fantastic picture of Rosie the Riveter in front of some cannabis leaves right there. Hell yeah. And some of these brands we've used, we've talked about, we've reviewed here on the show before, but we want to reiterate them because they are dope as hell.
Yeah, would you like to also know a fun fact?
I would like to know a fun fact.
So the image that they have used here is a version of Rosie the Riveter that is a later version of Rosie. She was originally drawn as a full-figured woman to be more representative of the populace. And then after people got back and they wanted to really sell the look of Rosie, of course the men sexualized her and they made her really sexy, and they gave her the whole pose. Well, she had the pose originally, but they they changed it. So if you want to do a little bit of a deep dive on Rosie the Riveter, I encourage you to deep dive into the original Rosie.
Well, fucking men.
The number one thing that's Googled on Women's National History Day. Do you want to know what it is? It's Men's National History Day.
Oh.
Quite frequently, people will get frustrated and be like, well, why don't we get a day? And then it's like, you do, motherfuckers. It's in November. You guys just don't celebrate it like we do.
Man.
So, pretty sad. That's the statistic. That's a fact.
We have enough days. I mean, look, the number of days. President's Day, men.
There are people of color that are not being accurately spoken for by the people that are currently in the positions of power that should be using their voices to protect their constituents are currently not doing that. So I really encourage you, if you are in a place where you can vote, Please do so and make sure to vote in your best interests, not in the best interests of the companies and like mega corporation billionaires that are literally sucking the life out of the American people for their own gain. So
fuck,
please,
yeah,
vote those people out of office. You have your voice. Do not let them discourage you or take that away from you. Please also like know all of the voting things that are going on in your specific state. There have been a lot of new laws that have been put into place to make it a lot more difficult for people of color, specifically to get to polling locations, and or their safety is being undermined. It's also being very difficult for people that have disabilities to even get to the polls. So if you have the ability to use a mail-in ballot, not all of the states do, so please take that advantage if you can. And yeah, please let your voice be heard. Do not be silenced by how things are going right now. It's a little dark, it's a little scary, but we have to let the world know how we feel in order to continue to press for change.
Of all the freaking holidays, I don't understand how voting day or voting days are not holidays.
They should be.
They should be holidays.
Yeah.
They should be holidays. We should not have to work. We should only be responsible for voting. Because it's so fucking important.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Okay. Here are 10 women-owned cannabis brands that you should know. First one, Lune. Lune, L-E-U-N-E, is fantastic. So here's a little write-up. Lune believes that being in the cannabis industry comes with a platform, an ability to use their voice and help bring awareness to social injustice and inspire true positive change. Over the years, Lune has partnered with social justice projects such as the Floray Coalition and the Last Prisoner Project. As Lune puts it, there is a mountain of work to be done, and beyond the fad, buzzwords, and headlines of the week, we're here for as long as it takes. Learn more about Lune. Lune makes some of the smoothest pre-rolls and disposable vapes. And I have this first one, the 2-to-1 Pina Daydream Disposable. It's a CBD-dominant disposable. It's a perfect daytime companion for relieving anxiety. And all proceeds from that product go towards the Last Prisoner Project. I've had the 2-to-1 Pina Daydream Disposable. It's fantastic. Can't recommend it enough.
Amazing. Also, the Last Prisoner Project is an incredible organization. It's lastprisonerproject.org. They make it incredibly easy to go and sign a whole bunch of different actions. So they have a take action button. You can do anything from donating to signing different petitions and sending letters, and also donating to the individuals that have been affected most by this, which are the people that have been imprisoned. So if you have disposable income and the ability to do so, please go ahead and feel free to donate to the Last Prisoner Project. The next one is Miss Grass. Miss Grass is on a mission to help the world get good weed. They create products around three standards: clean, trusted, and effective. It's all about your power to vote with your dollars to support and nurture an equitable industry and to eradicate the stigma around this plant. It's about making cannabis accessible to everybody. Welcome to the high road. Miss Grass also participates in social initiatives such as the Last Prisoner Project. Yeah! Trans Lifeline and Cage Free Cannabis.
Yes.
they are one of the few companies we carry that show the terpenes present in their pre-roll. This helps us know exactly how we can feel and guides us. They have their Fast Times 5-Pack, Quiet Times 5-Pack, and All Times 5-Pack, and these are all pre-rolls.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's amazing. I love that name. Fast Times Daytime, Quiet Time Nighttime, All Time, All Time.
Yeah. I like it.
Pretty incredible that immediately, right off the bat, first two women-owned cannabis companies, proceeds going to incredible charities and initiatives.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I love women-owned businesses. I feel like a lot of the times when a business is owned by women, they reach out to help the others in their community that need help rising. I think the term, the all ships rise, fits very well there. And it's a wonderful thing. And I know I personally will like bend over backwards and break my back in any way that I can to help another woman in whatever way that I can, because it's fucking hard out there. I get it.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Next on this list is Dreamt. D-R-E-A-M-T, Dreamt. Founded by a nationally recognized cannabis scientist.
Is it maybe Dreamt?
It's probably Dreamt. I'm high. Dreamt?
It's okay.
Oh, man.
amazing.
Just the past tense of dream is... I dreamt. Dreamt, yes. Founded by a nationally recognized cannabis scientist, Carolina Vasquez Mitchell, and her best friend, Dr. Janice Babush. Both founded Dreamt, a company designed to offer a good night's sleep in all forms. Dreamt is the first brand from Ciencia Labs, a Los Angeles-based house of cannabis brands designed to address common health problems. Ciencia Labs is a women and minority-owned company, and they have gummies, disposable vapes, and two-dose shots, all offering you a good night's sleep and better REM sleep, which is great because I was reading about not all cannabis is good for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be doing yourself a disservice if you smoke the wrong kind of weed too late at night. You're going to mess up your sleep. You're not going to dream as much. And this is the cannabis for that, for sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. Very
sweet.
Exciting.
Very helpful. Mm-hmm. The next one is one that we've talked about. Not this product, but the concept. So
yes, the concept.
I guess we're gonna. It's an interesting thing. Okay, the women-owned brand makes products just for dogs and cats. My Best Buds offers precisely dosed tinctures that will help your furry friend with anxiety and stress. Both founders are serial entrepreneurs with backgrounds in aerospace engineering, law, and medical fields. Leading the way in cannabis research, the founder hopes the science used to create their products will be used to advance medical cannabis research for humans and for pets. Their piece of advice to women who want to work in cannabis, move quickly and be flexible. The industry moves at the speed of light. Our favorite products from My Best Buds are three different formulas, ratios of CBD-dominant oils for pets.
Wow. So that's interesting. They've got a 20 to 1, a 4 to 1, and a 1 to 1. This is precisely measured small amounts of THC that you can actually give to your pets to relax them. But that's what's up. Like, you don't just give your dog an edible. You buy a brand that is made for your dog and use it to treat actual anxiety if your dog does, in fact, have actual anxiety. You don't just do it willy-nilly. You use science. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe use science and also just do a CBD so you're not accidentally drugging your dog.
Don't drug your dog. Don't drug your dog.
The next one is Juniper.
Yeah.
Juniper is a woman-owned second-generation family farm in Humboldt, packaged in glass and beautiful artisan tins, best known for its smooth pre-rolls. This brand is great for beginners. Their airy joints have a low THC content. The way Juniper grows their plants, often rich trichomes with rich terpenes. Also, allowing the flower to burn softly and smoothly. In addition, the packaging is compact and easy to recycle. A few delightful strains we carry from Juniper are Super Lemon Haze, 5-pack of pre-rolls, Green Crack Mini 5-pack, Wedding Cake 2-pack, and that's interesting.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Next on the list, I love Yummy Karma. Yummy Karma is an incredibly diverse company run by a woman CEO and COO, Crystal and Chelsea. The brand focuses on creating products for people and lifestyles, paying careful attention to marginalized problems. Yummy Karma was the first state-licensed manufacturer in Orange County. They're especially known for making products for women by women. Their team is actively working on creating Southern California's first boutique-style cannabis retailer for women. So Yummy Karma's tinctures include Drift Away, Mood Magic, and Cloud Nine. Drift Away is their bedtime elixir. Mood Magic is for menstrual cramps. I'm saying nothing right. Menstrual cramps. I'm a fucking idiot. I can't
talk. Menstrual cramps?
Menstrual cramps. Yep. Yep. And Cloud Nine is the one that I've used. It's a CBD dominant tincture, most commonly used for mind and body wellness. It's a 4-to-1, and it's good for people with anxiety. And I gotta tell you, the Cloud Nine is fantastic. I'm pretty sure we've talked about it on the show before. I love me some Cloud Nine.
Awesome. Cosmic View is a family-owned company, daughter and mother to be precise.
Yeah.
Nicole Scibola is an artist, writer, and cancer survivor. Her mother, Christine Scibola, is a UC Berkeley professor and an internationally known cancer researcher. Excuse me, doctor. This hardworking duo put together the well-known and respected brand Cosmic View. Nicole and Christine launched Cosmic View as a marriage between science, art, and the California lifestyle. Their products are made especially for women's needs, making delicate moments easy to get with. Here are a few of the Cosmic View favorites. 3-in-1 Restore Tincture, Viva La Vie, Vaginal Balm.
Whoa.
It's designed to protect, rejuvenate, replenish, and repair tender skin. The balm is made with olive oil. Okay,
what do you think?
I think that my vagina does a pretty good job of cleaning out itself, and I don't think I need to add some things to it. That's a little sus. Don't really like it.
Fair.
Yeah, like, because at first I was like, oh, is it kind of like a sexy time thing? All right, I could get on board with that, but it seems more like a, hold on, we need to treat you? And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. No, I don't think we need to do that. This is slumber tincture. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. So not sold on the vaginal balm, but in for the slumber tincture.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems a little Gwyneth Paltrow to me, and I don't think that I need that much of a Gwyneth Paltrow thing.
Ah, gotcha. But you've used Kush Queen. That's the next one. Tell us about Kush Queen.
The Kush Queen product line includes award-winning bath bombs, pain relief lotions, edibles, wellness supplements, and skincare. With such a diverse product line, Kush Queen focuses on wellness and healing effects of cannabis. The founder of the successful company is Olivia Alexander. As a voice for progressive change and women's industry inclusion, Olivia was recognized as Dope Magazine's 2017 Social Media Influencer of the Year and was called the Mariah Carey of Weed by Elle.
Whoa!
More popular Kush Queen products include THC Makeup Primer. This primer is perfect to reduce redness, prevent breakouts, and leave your skin velvety soft. Let the cannabinoids work for you under your makeup. Okay, interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. We'll have to see some studies. Just because I don't know if the THC would really get to be able to penetrate that many layers of skin. Mm-hmm. 1 in 3 soaked body wash. This body wash is great for muscle pain, body aches, and inflammation, skin issues with citrus essential oils. Your body will feel fresh and relaxed after using this beautiful product. I like it. Yeah, sorry. I get weird about like makeup and like THC on my face.
Okay.
And like, things like that, because it's just like, especially if you're having like any kind of skincare issue, I just am wary. I want to see the research.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a glow-in-the-dark bath bomb. The glow-in-the-dark relax bath bomb was created to relax the body, help stabilize the mood, and take your glow up to the next level. A beautiful blend of lavender, chamomile, and frankincense to come together to assist in the relief of anxiety, stress, and inflammation while giving your immune system a healthy boost it needs.
I am all about...
What the fuck makes it glow?
I don't know what makes it glow. But I'm into it. Man, I like that shit. You give me a bath bomb that glows, I'm getting in that tub, I'm staying in there for hours.
Oh my goodness.
Especially if it makes me high too. Then I'll go nowhere. I will be in that bathtub forever.
Yeah. I have to know what makes it glow.
Oh,
it's right here.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's
with
like
something in the bath bomb.
Yeah. Okay.
There a glow stick in the bath bomb?
It says organic tea tree, eucalyptus, spearmint. I can't read what that word says. I think it says comfor, rosemary, and black pepper. Essential oils blended to create consistent targeted effects. USA hemp extract, 200 milligrams of CBD, 0 THC guarantee. I need to... What makes it glow?
Well, we'll have to get one and find out, Chris.
Oh my god, it's so fucking bright!
It's so bright. It's very glowy. That glows a lot.
Ugh, I need to know.
That's amazing. Here, while you look, let me rattle off our last two. We've got Garden Society... Garden Society is another perfect example of women's stellar influence in cannabis. Founder Erin Gore is a fearless advocate for women-owned cannabis businesses and equally dedicated to breaking the stigma and rewriting the script around the plant. Her co-founder Carly Warner is a working mother and wife to a cancer survivor. She knows the positive impact that low-dose cannabis can have on the mind, body, and soul. Garden Society products are Common Focus High CBD pre-rolls, spiced vegan dark chocolate. It's rich dark chocolate paired with Celian cinnamon and a touch of chili. infused with sativa, a sativa strain to lighten your mood for a brighter day. And their Sativa Rosettes pre-rolls, mini pre-rolls for a uplifting yet mild effect, perfect for a brighter day. The size and strength of these are perfect for anyone looking for a light effect. And then our last one is Kikoko, started by two women entrepreneurs in the Bay Area. Kikoko is a women-led California cannabis brand at the forefront of the culinary cannabis revolution. They serve edible THC and CBD products, notable tea and honey sticks. So they have the Honey Shot 1-to-1, which is a honey stick, and it's a perfect pair with warm tea. They have their Sensually Tea, which I've had before. This tea is designed to boost libido and intensify orgasms. It's pretty dope. And then they have their Positivity, which I've also had. It's their strongest THC blend with a 2-to-1 ratio of THC to CBD. This formula can provide relief from feelings of anxiety and stress and bring on more joy and laughter, and it certainly does. So those are 10 women-owned cannabis brands that you should get out there. You should know about them. You should try them. Try them all. Kristen's looking to see what makes the bath bomb glow. We're going to take a quick break here on the Way Highway, but we'll be back momentarily with more Sean and more Kristen. Don't move a muscle.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Way Highway here on Adobe Radio. I'm Sean.
And I'm Kristen.
So, the glow bath bomb is no longer available. We don't know what makes it glow, but it was non-toxic and was not tested on animals. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. All the things. And it was lab tested. So, interesting. I couldn't find it. It's a product from 2020, and it was an exclusive short period product. So, it was no longer available. It was exclusive. So, I'm interested. I want to see the next thing that they make that glows.
I want more. I want glowing bath bombs. I'd love to be in a glow bath.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I felt so cool not too long ago. I got a couple bath bombs. It turned the water inky black. And I was like, this is cool as hell.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Let's continue here. Let's talk about some women in the history of cannabis and women. And we're going to do a shallow dive here in the beginning, and then we'll do a deeper dive for the end of our show. But first, Brownie Mary. We did a deep dive into Brownie Mary once on the show.
Yeah.
Kristen.
Yes, I talked about Brownie Mary. I talked about how she was one of the first advocates for marijuana edibles. And she was also a huge advocate for treating individuals in AIDS units and giving them some of their pain relief medication through these brownies. She advocated for it. And she's an incredible human. If you would like to hear more about her, please go and listen to our Brownie Mary episode.
Yeah. The thing that blew my mind about Brownie Mary, if you listen to our episode, if you look up Brownie Mary and do some research, there was a period of time where she was cooking, well, baking, I should say. She was baking, cooking and baking, two different things. What do they always say? Cooking is science and baking is physics? No.
Baking is science and cooking is just kind of like whatever you want. Cooking is easier. Cooking is a lot easier than baking because baking is actually like you have to do like chemistry because like they're like reactions that are happening with chemicals and like stuff like that. And like, you know, obviously I mean yeast and stuff like that is working with other things, but you know, it's difficult. It's so difficult. I can cook, but I cannot bake.
I am right there with you. I can cook. I cannot bake.
Yeah.
But there's just too many variables in baking that, like, you baking soda and baking powder to me appear to be exactly the same thing. Yet if you mix up the portions of both of those, and the whole entire thing goes haywire.
Uh-huh.
It's too much pressure.
Too much pressure.
But not for Brownie Mary. Brownie Mary was baking 600 brownies a day at one point.
Like a goddamn hero.
Like a goddamn hero. Yes. Hildegard von Bingen, who lived from 1098 to 1179 AD, was a German nun during the Middle Ages and was celebrated as a seer, physician, scholar, and abbess. Von Bingen wrote in her health guide, Physicia. Physicia, that hemp could be used for a variety of treatments and recommended applying a healing hemp cloth to soothe wounds and eating hemp to reduce other types of pain. Modern day scientists and doctors like Ethan B. Russo have confirmed that her early studies about what she referred to as green power have been correct and can be seen in modern CBD and cannabis use. We always knew.
Oh yeah.
We always knew.
Oh yes, we did.
And then Margaret Mead. Margaret Mead lived from 1901 to 1978 AD and was a renowned anthropologist who testified before Congress in favor of the legalization of marijuana on October 27th, 1969. In her testimony, she said, "It is my considered opinion at present that marijuana is not harmful unless it is taken in enormous and excessive amounts. I believe that we are damaging this country, damaging our law, our whole law enforcement situation, damaging the trust between the older people and the younger people, by its prohibition, and this is far more serious than any damage that might be done to a few overusers, because you can get damage from any kind of overuse."
Mm-hmm.
She went on to add that the use of marijuana was common in other parts of the world. In the West Indies, people smoke marijuana to get through a hard day's work, and after they've done the hard day's work, they smoke another bit of marijuana to relax and enjoy the evening.
Awesome.
We always knew. We always knew. Now, our main Oh boy.
Hi.
Hi. We froze.
Mm-hmm.
We froze. But we can just pick it up right here. Our main, the deeper dive that we've done is Hatshepsut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kristen, you said that you did a report on Hatshepsut in school.
When I was a very little kid in elementary school, I remember doing my first report that I ever wrote was about Hatshepsut. And uh-huh. I was obsessed with the fact that there was a female pharaoh, and I thought it was so interesting. And it says here, Hatshepsut was one of the few female pharaohs in Egyptian history and was said to use hemp to maintain menstrual pain. The use of cannabis for medical purposes does not end there, though. The Ebers Papyrus, an herbal medical text from ancient Egypt, also recommends the use of hemp to ease discomfort during childbirth. Depictions of Sheshet, the ancient Egyptian goddess of wisdom, knowledge, and writing, show a star-like leaf symbol on top of her headdress that many historians regard as cannabis. Fucking love that. But yeah, I also thought it was really interesting because the way that the role of the pharaoh worked was different than we understand for like the role of a king. So a king, a king is said to be put there by God, but a pharaoh is, in all intents and purposes, a god.
Right.
So once Hatshepsut had to take on the mantle of pharaoh, because her husband died and her son was far too young, she took on the role of pharaoh, which is the role of a living god. So she, like a lot of people were like, well, she didn't give her throne back when her son came of age. It's like, well, she couldn't. She was a literal god. She couldn't just do that and give it back. Like, he had to wait until she perished, and then he would take up his, you know, position. Which I think is very interesting. There's, of course, because what does history love to do more than anything but erase Black women and people of color in general, and also indigenous cultures. There was a big campaign that was made to erase Hatshepsut from history by archaeologists who are against, were like, they didn't want there to be a female pharaoh, so they were just going to get rid of the information.
Yeah. Fuck all that bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, we did a deeper dive into...
Also, do you want to know how many fucking, like, mummies were eaten by, like British people and, like, the fucking colonizers?
What? What?
Like, legitimately, look it up. One of the major reasons that we don't have as many mummies as we should is because people used to literally eat them.
Kristen, what are you saying?
Spouting truth. There's literally a joke about it in Futurama.
Oh my god.
There's
That's
the joke
crazy.
In Futurama where the professor has a thing. It's an old Egyptian piece, like sarcophagus, and Fry has eaten it, and he's mad at Fry for having eaten it before he got the chance to.
Oh my god.
And that is a reference to that. And it was something that was hysterically ironic that all of these colonizers are saying that the people of the indigenous people are quote unquote savages and quote unquote backwards. And they're literally eating mummies.
That's
not to
wild.
Mention all of the other horrible, horrifying atrocities that they were committing
of course.
To the people that they forced into or kidnapped from their homelands and forced into enslavement.
Jesus Christ. Oh my god, that's fucking wild.
They really flipped the script. Turns out those motherfuckers lied to us this whole goddamn time.
Jesus. Well, I just don't know what have we dug up here? Well, it looks like there's a mummified body wrapped in these. Well, I wonder what it tastes like. Oh, that's pretty good. Why don't we eat the rest of it? Why don't we eat more?
It was like also like the whole like fucking shit about, I'm sure it probably made someone's dick hard, or like that was like
the thing.
It's like, oh, it's an aphrodisiac. And then everyone's like, oh, yes, now I shall snort the mummy.
Oh, boy.
Because snake oil salesman.
Oh, Jesus. Well, we got to take one more quick break here on the Way Highway. But we're going to do that, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk ancient Egypt and the longest reigning female pharaoh of Egypt, Hatshepsut. I'm not good with words. Hatshepsut. I'm terrible with words today. We'll be right back. You're listening to Adobe Radio, and that's fantastic. After the messages, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Way Highway. I'm Sean.
And I'm Kristen.
Hi. Hi. So, the 18th dynasty of Egypt saw the return of native rulers to the throne and the peak of Egyptian wealth and prosperity. And among those rulers was Queen Hatshepsut, the longest reigning female pharaoh in Egyptian history, ruling from 1473 to 1458 BC. When her half-brother and husband, Thutmose II died early. That's how it was working back then. Died early, her infant stepson succeeded as pharaoh, though only in her early 20s. Hatshepsut took over active rule as his regent. After a few years, she ousted her stepson and took over as official pharaoh of Egypt, enjoying a long and prosperous reign. So here's 10 facts about the queen who would be king, or really just the pharaoh. Woman who would be pharaoh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So one, an attempt to erase Hatshepsut from history failed. So historians have struggled to piece together the details of Hatshepsut's life and reign. And one major factor of the uncertainty is the lack of evidence, as her name was intentionally erased from Egyptian monuments and sculptures. And this was thought to be the work of her stepson, Thutmose III. And for years, people thought it was bitter revenge against his stepmother for her usurpation of the throne. But careful investigation reveals more practical motives. Hatshepsut never persecuted her stepson, and in fact, he held important posts within her government and led his army. There's little evidence of any hatred between them, and even more peculiar is the timing of the erasure. It was undertaken at the end of Thutmose's life rather than the beginning. Additionally, mentions of Hatshepsut were not destroyed in the inner chambers of her tomb, something that would have hindered her in the afterlife, according to Egyptian tradition. An angry, jealous attack would most certainly have also targeted those inscriptions, indicating that he had no personal grudge against his stepmother. Instead, it appears that the destruction was a careful political move intended to erase no argument about the ascension of Thutmose III's own son, Amhotep II. Some historians even suggest that it was Amhotep, not his father, who attempted to remove Hatshepsut from history. Not her son, her stepson, as it were, but in fact, more lineage later. Another fact about her, she led her own military campaign. Mm-hmm. Upon taking control at only 22 years of age, Hatshepsut followed the example of her 18th dynasty predecessors and solidified her power with short and successful military campaigns to the south against the Kingdom of Kush. So she was a strong military leader. You go.
Yeah.
Next one is super interesting, because I thought originally when I was researching, I thought this was part of the erasure, right? But it was Hatshepsut herself that altered her image to be more masculine. Mm-hmm. So early depictions of her are quite feminine, likely more realistic portrayals of her appearance. But partway into her reign, the carvings and sculptures began to take on a more masculine appearance, and she's sometimes shown in the traditional garments of male rulers of Egypt. And in the later part of her life, she was depicted fully male, in male clothing, and even with the traditional beard of Egyptian pharaohs.
Yeah. Yeah, she even dropped the name Hatshepsut at one point and took on another name, a male name, in order to be the pharaoh. But
yeah,
she was still obviously Hatshepsut. She just had to step into that title.
Right. It's interesting. I wonder how much of that was a power move and how much of it was politicking, you know?
Yeah. I think it was probably a thing out of necessity because everything had been a particular way for a particular amount of time. And there was an expectation of the patriarchy.
Right.
So she stepped into that role.
Yeah. God damn it. In the 9th year of her reign, she launched a massive expedition to the land of Punt. Punt, or the Divine Land, is believed to be located near modern Somalia. And the expedition was a major success, and the Egyptians returned home laden with fantastic and exotic items. One of the most ambitious goals of the journey was to bring back living myrrh trees to cultivate in Egypt. Incense and myrrh were very expensive substances in the ancient world as they grew in very limited locations. Yet many cultures, including Egypt, required their use in religious and funerary ceremonies. Wall paintings in Hatshepsut's funerary temple show the expedition members returning with these trees. Unfortunately, they were ill-suited to Egypt's climate and none survived. But trade with Punt appears to have continued throughout her reign. What an interesting time where, like, the goal is, like, we have to go and get trees.
Or, well, they, yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it's just thinking about the concept of having to do, like, a spice trade.
Right. I love it. That we, like, I will lead an expedition to the divine land to bring back myrrh trees, and then rocked it. Fuck yeah. One theory suggests that Hatshepsut might be the biblical queen of Sheba. An interesting theory suggests that Punt was not a region to the south of Egypt, but was actually the region of Judea, and that Hatshepsut is, in fact, the legendary biblical queen of Sheba who met with Solomon. Whoa.
I don't have the reference to the Bible.
You're not big on the Bible?
I'm just not up on my fairy tale folklore.
But in addition to all of these already amazing, she's a fantastic military leader. She's leading successful expeditions to divine lands. She was one of the most prolific builders in Egyptian history. Hatshepsut restored damages done by the previous dynasty that occupied, that caused heavy destruction to Egyptian art and monuments, and she built back bigger and greater. Her works included the restoration of the precinct of Mut at Karnak, the construction of the Red Chapel at Karnak, the construction of the Temple of Paket in Beni Hassan, and so many statues were commissioned during her reign that almost every museum in the world today features Egyptian artifacts containing some from her era. In fact, the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art has an entire Hatshepsut room dedicated to statues from her reign. She also commissioned numerous obelisks, including ones that remain the tallest surviving ancient obelisks in the world.
Amazing.
Amazing. You go. Her greatest architectural creation is her mortuary temple complex at Deir el-Bahari. That was overseen by her chief steward and took around 15 years to complete. Her temple varies significantly in several stylistic aspects to other mortuaries, and it marks a switch in Egyptian temple design from the massive geometric Old Kingdom style towards one intended for more active use by worshippers. The temple is 3 stories tall, connected by ramps and terraces, and in its day it contained shrines, chapels, and the sanctuary of Amun-Re. They were all woven together with carved reliefs, reflecting pools, and elaborate gardens of exotic plants and trees.
Awesome.
She's basically a rock star. Oh, man. Number eight. She may have had an affair with her steward. Hey, get it. Come on. Historians today whisper rumors that Queen Hatshepsut had a lover, none other than her chief steward, Senenmut. Archaeologists were shocked to discover that Hatshepsut allowed Senenmut to have his own name and image painted into her mortuary temple, an unprecedented honor. He was also apparently unmarried, a very odd state for a mature Egyptian man, and he and Hatshepsut were buried in a matching pair of sarcophagi.
Sarcophagi?
Sarcophagi. Ah, man. Me and words today. That's so cool. That is so cool. Her body has been incredibly hard to find. It was a long and relentless endeavor. Excavated her mortuary, but her body wasn't there.
Well, another thing that makes it more difficult to identify female mummies to begin with is just the fact that, this is so gross. Most of the time when women would die, they would let the body get to a certain, like the family would keep it until it got to a certain point of decomposition. To discourage people from doing things to the body.
And then lastly, Queen Hatshepsut may have accidentally caused her own death. So the mummy that they finally found that was believed to be her reveals that she was stood just over 5 feet. She was a little bit overweight and had rotted at the time of her death. She had long hair of a gold color and red painted fingernails. Modern technology has been able to determine even more about the great queen. She apparently suffered from arthritis and diabetes in her later years, as well as bone cancer, which is presumed to be the cause of her death. The queen's cancer cause has even been determined. She appeared to struggle with some kind of chronic genetic skin disease that she covered with lotion, whether to disguise it or as an attempt to improve it. Unfortunately, the lotion itself was a carcinogenic substance which slowly penetrated and caused her fatal bone cancer. So she might have slowly killed herself with lotion.
Yeah, a lot of people did that. I think like one of the famous queens of England like accidentally killed herself by treating herself with a medication she was given by a doctor and it had like mercury in it.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
But that was our deep dive into the life of the longest reigning female pharaoh in ancient Egypt. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yay!
That's all the time we have this week on The Way Highway. Make sure you come back each and every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Go to the place where you get your podcasts. Download old episodes of The Way Highway. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. And make sure you're always listening to iDobe Radio, baby. Kristen, get us out of here.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you could follow Sean Cowick at Sean Cowick. You could follow me, Kristen Sanchez, at Siren16X. And you could also follow The Way Highway at The Way Highway or send us an email at wayhighway@idobe.com. Thank you guys for listening. We'd also like to thank iDobe Radio, Nice Guy Digital, Bernie and Jelly, Gregory Jenkins, Dr. God, and you. guys for listening. Did I forget anyone?
I don't think so. We'll catch you next week, Stoners.
Great week.
Bye.